We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
Alongside Ryan Horvath, we're commercial free the rest of the way with you this morning. We're going to talk a little Packers. We've got Devontae Adams to check in with. We are going to talk Brewers. Maybe. How much Brewers do you want to talk this hour? I certainly want to talk Bucks. If you guys want to talk Brewers, you can. Whatever you want to talk about, we will always take your calls, 799-1250. Just the Brewers kind of depress me right now because you watched the game last night. Something's missing. Lorenzo Cain. Oh, that's the answer. Lorenzo Cain's missing. I don't know how much fun they're having at this point, and that's tough. The Brewers are a team that has a lot of fun. They've had a lot of good chemistry. The dugout has been great. And it's not just like the social distancing stuff as to why they're not, you know, having a grand old time in the dugout. I retweeted a clip from the Cubs yesterday. They are in the dugout banging on stuff. And it's like,
not like the Astros were, though.
No. They're not tipping pitches. They're like playing music like the Brewers used to do. I don't know. I think that to get through this season in baseball, you've got to have
fun.
You've got to have fun. You've got to realize that you're playing a game during these times. You've got to enjoy yourself. You got to be there for one another. You got to hold your teammates accountable. You've got to hope that they do the same for you.
Well, that's the problem with the Brewers. These guys don't know each other, man.
That's a good point. A lot of these guys don't know each other.
And like, what a weird group of dudes, kind of, to be quite honest with you. You know, you got some younger guys in the clubhouse, but then you got Logan Morrison and Justin Smoke and, you know, it's just kind of a weird group. You got Brock Holt, who seems like a great guy, you know, but a family man. And then you got young dudes that, and I mean, I was going to say that, you know, could go out together at night, but you can't even do that. So, yeah, it's just a weird season. And it feels a lot different. It feels like nobody's having fun. Like, and you brought up the Cubs and you see some of these other teams having fun in the dugout. I feel like, yeah, that's the way you have to treat it here in 2020 because it is such a weird season. And, you know, it's always like, well, you got to stick with your teammates because you guys spent 162 games together. But now you spend, like, every minute together. It's either, like, you're at home quarantining or you're with your teammates. So I feel like it's more important now than ever.
And I feel really stupid about my thoughts two weeks ago, and I'm gladly going to change them.
Okay.
But I feel really stupid about how I was looking at this NL Central. And in the new NL Central, I took the Reds to win the division. I still feel like they're good. I think they'll make the playoffs. I took the Brewers to take second. Whoops. Then I think I took the Cardinals. I think I took the Cubs fourth. And my reasoning was about David Ross. I said, you know, this guy's going to, he's like their friend. They all played with him. You know, what kind of, how are they going to react to him? And that was my reasoning.
I love him.
Really dumb reason. Just a really bad take by me.
And the Cubs are 9-2, and their bullpen has an ERA over 7. So they win despite having one of the worst bullpens in Major League Baseball, other than Jeremy Jeffress, who is really good.
So I would like to take a shot at somebody. I'd like to take a shot at me for a really dumb take.
Okay.
Because David Ross being the manager, this team is so well-knit that you look at just their lineup, and I noticed this, I'm sure we all did, but when the Brewers played the Cubs that opening weekend, It's Schwarber and Rizzo and Bryant and Baez and a lot of the same names that it's been since the World Series. They really didn't blow that up. You know, there's different guys that have come and gone, but a lot of the same guys are there, at least the core. When you think of that team, the first names that you mention, they're still there.
Yeah.
And they know each other, and they will play for one another. And they'll play harder off the field for one another. You take some of these other teams, I mean, if there's a team like the Marlins who a couple of guys go out for a milk or whatever their excuse was.
Go get the papers, get the papers.
And there's newer guys. Are you going to say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that?
Well, right.
And but see, if you're the Cubs and you see Schwarber going out and like getting a drink or whatever, you're going to have more guys say, Kyle, what are you doing? Well, you idiot.
And that's like the difference because those guys, like you
said. And David Ross can be that guy.
Yeah, and those guys have been together.
Terrible take by me.
No, I think, which one? This new one?
The one that I thought David Ross would be a problem.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, what you'd known of David Ross was like a guy that nobody cared about until the year in 2016 when they win the World Series. And then next thing you know, like, you just wanted him to piss off because he was on everything. Dancing with the Stars, Saturday Night Live. It was like, all right, man, you had your 5 minutes. Please go away forever. So, no, I don't think that was a terrible take. But I think the difference with the Cubs is this is a team and a roster that's been together now, man, for what, 6 years, 7 years? So these guys actually, not to sound lame, but they've won a World Series together. They've won together, and they've had some disappointing losses together. They actually care about each other. You got a guy like Rizzo in the clubhouse that's beat cancer. So I think that they really are concerned. Like, if you're Hap or Chris Bryant, you don't want to go out and get this milk or, you know, hit the boom boom room up to go visit Sherry and Terry or Buffy and Susie, because if you come back with COVID-19...
Sherry and Terry from The Simpsons?
You could potentially kill Anthony Rizzo. Like, he hasn't, like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
But you also, like, you know each other. You trust each other. That's there. The Brewers are just a bunch of dudes now. Like, they don't even know each other. They met each other, like, at spring training. Then that's shut down in Arizona. Since then, what have they done? A couple Zoom conference calls, some workouts here and there. But everybody's not together. So I just feel like right now they're just trying to figure out who the hell they are. This team has no identity because the identity that they've had the last 3 years as a winning baseball team that's won, you know, by manufacturing runs and by using the bullpen the way Craig Counsell wants to use the bullpen, that team is gone. Like, this is, I hate to say it, the Brewers, this is a rebuild. Is it not? You have Christian Yelich. You dedicated all that money to Christian Yelich now for the next 10 years. Who else is going to be here besides Christian Yelich for the next six? Keston here.
It feels like...
easy to say that.
I thought this last night. It feels like I'm watching this team 2-3 years into the future because Kane was gone. And Braun was gone. He's not in there. He's hurt.
Like, he's not the future.
You've got Yelich and Hira, and then you've got a bunch of other guys that we're still trying to get to know. So it almost feels like you're watching this team a couple years into the future. Last night I tweeted, because, you know, you try to find other people to blame. Mm-hmm. So I blamed the Cardinals last night. I said, the Cardinals really screwed over the Brewers. Milwaukee seems lost mentally. Who knows how the season plays out if the Brewers were able to play last weekend. Plus, we probably still have Kane. In a season full of obstacles, the Cardinals made it even tougher on the Brewers to succeed. So we're never going to know the paths. This is the path that we are on. This is the timeline that we are on where the Cardinals had a few guys contract COVID and that series didn't play. What would the timeline be like if that didn't happen? They would have played those three games. I would assume with 12 more at-bats, Yelich has an easier time getting out of the slump, or at least, you know, he works it, or it could be way worse. But I assume they still have Lorenzo Cain. You know, Pat Murphy probably still would have had the heart attack. I mean, that was a terrible thing that I don't think we can overlook in terms of how it affects his team mentally.
Right.
So I do think the weekend played really a big role into how this team is going to go forward. Craig Counsell, on the other hand, he would disagree with that.
I think we're back into it. You know, we got some offensive guys that are just not on it right now, and I think that could happen, you know, in any kind of scenario in the season. And so, you know, when you go through that, it's tough to score, and that's kind of where we're sitting at right now, is that we got a couple guys that just aren't swinging the bat well, and so it, you know, it makes it our offensive chances. You know, it's hard to sustain some stuff, and that's kind of what we've run into. The thing we've been missing, you know, for the first eight games, it's just a big inning. We have not had, we've had one big inning that the night in Pittsburgh. I guess we had two big innings in Pittsburgh, but we've missed that, you know, with stringing a bunch of hits together.
So if Council's going to go the way of, well, it's not because of the weekend, it's just because we haven't had the big inning and we haven't had that offensively, well, then let's look at that for a second. Because we talked a lot about this yesterday, the lineup, look at the lineup. It's Sogard in there, Hira, Yelich, Garcia, he's trying to, you know, I'm trying to like him. He's been okay. Smoke, Morrison, Narvaez, there's still a lot of, like, these cast-offs. Some of you have said the lost and found bin. To quote Jerry Seinfeld, if I can just for a second. Who are these people? You know? It's like, well, what are we doing? This is not the Brewers that we've watched the last few years. Are these guys better as players? Right now, no. But Aguilar and VR and Eric Thames and all these guys that brought such Moustakas, that brought such joy and fun into the clubhouse, and even if they can't be so close in the clubhouse, into the dugout. I mean, look at the Nationals yesterday. Juan Soto is dancing on top of the dugout because of a home run.
I think he's just dancing on the dugout because he finally got to leave his hotel room after 89 negative tests.
But you're seeing these other teams have so much joy, and you're not seeing that in the Brewers. And I think that, you know, baseball, yes, Yelich needs to hit the ball. Something's wrong. He can't be looking at strike three. There's things that they can do. You can't have the errors that you have. But I think a lot of it right now is just they're not enjoying themselves. And to be good at a game, I think there has to be a level of enjoyment, and they're not doing that right now. You and I, if you enjoy doing the show, it's going to be a better show than if we aren't enjoying the show. If we hate what we do, if we like what we do, it's going to be better for everybody because we're enjoying it. And I know some of you guys work jobs you don't like, but when you have a good day, you do better. And I think it's that simple right now. They're just not having fun. It's just not a fun team.
No, I completely agree with that. And, you know, now more than ever, usually I say that during a 162-game season just because it is so long and there's rain delays and, you know, there's some really boring moments of the season. Now it's like you have to find a different way to have fun almost. Like it has to be, yeah, like dancing in the dugout or like finding socially distanced, stupid ways to continue to make guys laugh and have fun because now you can't even do like the off-the-field bonding stuff. You know, I mean, you could go golfing, but can you really? Because the Cardinals were virus shamed for going golfing. You can't really go to the casino. It's like literally you just it's kind of like being a kid again. You play baseball and you go home. But I agree, like, especially this season, even in a shortened season, 60 games, I think the looser team and that's going to show, you know, the looser teams. Now, you could win with having a bunch of talent. Like, even if the Yankees aren't having fun with that lineup, they're still going to win a bunch of games, even if they hate each other's guts. You know, same thing with the Dodgers. But with the Brewers, with the team of this makeup, yeah, I think they need to, you know, show more energy, start enjoying themselves more. Also, I do think that, you know, not to be a jackass here, I think they need better players. You know, you're
right. Yeah,
Ben
yeah.
Gamel is yeah. right now yeah. the best player on this team.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong.
You know?
I'm taking the fun narrative here.
Yeah.
But they also don't have a very good team.
And that's what, like, I look and I'm like, what are you doing, though? Because, like, is it a rebuild? And then the other thing you worry about is Brandon Woodruff is, like, becoming the ace. And then you're like, you look around Major League Baseball, and anytime anybody becomes an ace, then they're gone 3 years later. Like, do you even remember that Garrett Cole was ever a Pirate? Because I forget.
Like, yeah.
You know, he was a Pirate.
To do Jerry Seinfeld again. But I don't want to be a Pirate.
And then he was on the Astros, obviously. But I'm saying, like, you know, you don't even know where, if Josh Hader is is Josh Hader alive? Where is he? You can put him on a milk carton right now. And then B, is he even going to be on this team in like 2-3 years? Who besides Yelich will be on this team guaranteed in 3-4 years? Keston Hira? But even that's like tough to say. I mean, we can talk about
honest,
the Cubs.
I've never actually seen a milk carton with a missing person on it.
All right, well, we could bring up the Runaway Train music video that helped found 27 kids that were missing.
Yeah, that's
from
good.
Soul Asylum.
That's good.
But, and it's tough to even say like that. like Keston Hira is going to be here in like 3-4 years. Now, I wouldn't package him or trade him for anything. But a couple of years ago, Chris Bryant was the National League MVP. Then he was the MVP. He won a World Series. Now, most likely, he's going to be a Padre. You know, he'll be gone. Wilson Contreras will be gone. Even teams in big markets like the Cubs can't afford to bring all these guys back. So when you're not a big
Cubs
market,
can't even afford Eric Sogard, apparently.
Right. That's what I'm saying. All he wanted was $1 million. Like, look at that bullpen. The Cubs are just picking guys off the street. Like, hey, you pitched here in 96. Think you could throw a screwball? The Cubs bullpen. Jeremy Jeffress is the best thing they got in that bullpen. Craig
Winkler having his problems tonight.
He's my boy Dan Winkler.
He's awful.
Has he pitched? Is he bad?
I don't know. Their bullpen's ERA is 8.
Then how are they so good?
Because they score a bunch of runs, and then they put in Craig Kimbrell, and when he gets into a jam, they bring in Jeremy Jeffress. But yesterday, they used Jeffress in the 8th for some reason.
How's Dan Winkler doing? I'm going to look that up. Braves reliever. Now
give me
with the
under,
Cubs.
Over, I'll go ERA over 6 right now.
For Dan Winkler?
Yes.
Oh, 540, son.
Okay. And we're a relief pitcher. So I was right there. He's not good.
But he's only pitched inning in 2/3, and he's got 3 Ks.
Yeah.
How good's Jeffress been?
Really good. Check his stats.
All right.
I don't know that he's given up a run. One got in last night. Well, no, that was 2 nights.
Should I do it faster because it's commercial free? I'll hunt and peck.
You'll do what?
The hunt and peck method with typing. I never figured out how people couldn't type.
Oh, I wasn't the best typer.
Like, how can you not?
Well, did you guys do, like, in grade school or high school, whenever you did?
Yeah, we did typing class.
But did you do the thing where you'd, like, block off the keyboard so you couldn't see the letters?
Yeah. And we do words per minute.
God, I sucked at that.
Oh, I was, like, 75.
Yeah, I wasn't great at that stuff.
I just never understood how people still hunt and peck. Jeremy Jeffress, I look up his stats here. It says, incredible, huge regret for Brewers to let him go.
He's been really good.
He's got a win. He's been in 5 games.
He looks like he's just...
He's pitched 5 innings. He's got a save. He's given up 0 runs. He struck out 3. His whip is 0.20. Wow, Jeffress has been great.
Yeah.
But he needed a change of scenery, did he not? I mean, maybe he needed a new pitching coach. I don't know.
No, I think he's enjoying himself. Like you said, change of scenery. I think that could be good for anybody. Also, I mean, he had one bad year, really, when you think about it. Like, and who was performing at the time for the Brewers? Like, Zeus was having a bad year. Would you take Zeus back?
Right now, I would, yes.
All right. Travis Shaw, we don't know, because I don't think he's playing right now. What's going on with Travis Shaw?
What's going on with the Blue Jays? Have they played in Buffalo yet? I haven't seen.
I actually don't know. That's a good question. I should probably know these things.
You know, it's
too much going on right now. I don't care about the Blue Jays. I know that I need them to win 26 games this year, though.
What's been funny about sports is as things trickle back,
yeah,
like when it was just NASCAR, I was so into NASCAR for a couple weeks, and then soccer came back, so then I was so into soccer. And then baseball came back, so I'm like, goodbye soccer, all baseball.
Yeah.
And now NBA's back, and I'm like, see you later, random game. Because I was watching every baseball game possible, but now if there's any game, like, I'm not going to watch a Mets Braves right now. I'm going to watch Rockets and Suns, or whoever they played last night. I forget, the Trailblazers, I remembered.
Blazers.
799-1250, that's the number you can reach us, 414-799-1250. I've got another phone number for you, 262-703-3500. That's our friends at Window Select. Check them out, windowselect.com.
Good.
262-703-3500. Justin and the crew at Window Select. Again, check them out, windowselect.com. I would advise you to do that soon. They have had some incredible summer deals. At least set up your consultation and get it on the books, because a lot of you guys have taken advantage of it. The great deals, including buy one, get one free on windows. Buy one, get one free on windows. That's incredible. Buy one, get one free on windows. Get that now. Buy one, get one free on the windows. And you don't have to pay them anything until 2021. So you don't have to pay anything until next year. 262-703-3500, Window Select, where they've got high quality and energy efficient products for you. So the energy efficiency, too, you want to talk about deals and savings and finances, better windows, more energy efficient windows, lower the cost of your heating and that, you know, and cooling. And those are, when you're trying to budget, those are, how hard is it to budget for heating and cooling? Those costs go up and down and all over the place. This is a way to knock that down pretty well. The product's high quality as well. That's going to up the resale value of your home. Or really, you know, it's not about that either. It's just about making a nice, homey place to live. You live there. We're in our homes more than ever these days, it seems. So let's make sure it is as high quality as it can be, and to do it at some really affordable rates. So check them out, Window Select. Buy one, get one on the windows. Buy one, get one on the windows. They'll do your doors. They'll do your siding as well. They'll do that consultation for you free of charge. WindowSelect.com, 262-703-3500. So we've lamented on the crew for a little bit. We'll hear from Devontae Adams coming up. The Bucks also losing yesterday in afternoon game, 119 to 113. I do credit the bench. They made it interesting. I thought the game was over multiple times, but the bench did make it interesting. Although I think nobody's really thinking about the second half in that game. You're thinking about how the Nets put up 73 on you in the first with sort of their G League squad. Was able to catch some of Sidney Moncrief yesterday on the post-game show meets the Big Show. And some good questions thrown his way yesterday, including, you know, just his thoughts on the game. Bucks, Nets, what are we seeing? You give up 73. You're trying to lock down the one seed yesterday. It obviously didn't happen because of a loss. Sidney Moncrief explained what he saw yesterday on the postgame show.
They're going to get the one seed. That's a given. What they have to do now, though, is get some of these other players performing at a higher level. The only way you can do that is to have them play against competition. I think that was the primary goal for Coach Bud, knowing that the number one seed will be the Bucks. Now we have to make sure these players can perform in the playoffs. And I thought it was a good move on his part. Giannis and Middleton, they played enough minutes. They got a pretty good run. My only concern was when I watched the Houston ball game, both players, especially Giannis, did appear to be a little bit fatigued. So conditioning is something we need to look at moving forward. I think the coaching staff feel they'll play enough games and enough minutes before the playoffs to get their legs up under them.
When you play a game like this, Sid, what do you get out of it as far as your role players are concerned?
Just how well did they perform under pressure? The good news is it wasn't a blowout. It wasn't garbage time to where the Bucks were up by 20 and guys were just out there playing, or they were down by 20. It was a tough game. It was a close game. You hope those substitute or reserve players show a little bit of confidence and their ability to close out a ball game. Unfortunately, the Bucks did not have enough playmakers on the court at the end, but they hung in there pretty well. I was proud of the way the team played, and I think it's going to prepare them better for the playoffs.
Mr. Moncrief, we had one of our guys, Tony, called. He made a great point. He said his concern is, and his frustration is, the turnover the last three games. It seemed to be trending to where I think the Nets had 7, you had 18. That's because if people go all the way back to last year against Toronto down the stretch, the turnovers can be concerning.
They can be. I think early in the ballgame, I'm assuming the first half, the Bucks only had 5 turnovers, if I recall. So they played a fairly clean game. Giannis had most of those. Overall, though, it was a clean ball game. What we have seen with the last two teams, Houston and the New Jersey Nets, even though New Jersey's top 7 players didn't play, they're very athletic, and they have quick hands. And that gives a lot of teams problems, especially a team like the Bucks that rely a lot on penetration and pitching out for shooters. And I think they will get that back under control. I really do. But they play 2 very good teams as it relates to deflections and getting their hands on the basketball for steals.
To that perspective, talking with Sidney Moncrief, Bucks legend, basketball Hall of Famer here, on the Fan, do you think that there is starting to be a blueprint, I guess, drawn up as far as how to defend this Bucks offense?
I think it's too early to say that. I think most people know how to defend the Bucks offense, number one. NBA, you're so well scouted that I would say even before this outbreak, teams knew how to defend the Bucks. That's not the issue. The issue is, can the Bucks make plays on offense? And I think Coach Bud wanted some of these reserve players to gain confidence. So now when they come in the ball game, they can make plays offensively. They can make shots. They have more confidence. The zone gave them some trouble, but zones will always give you trouble when you don't have your best shooters in the ball game, which the Bucks did not on tonight. Mm-hmm. I think moving forward, most teams, if the Bucks are healthy and all their players are playing at a high level, a zone defense will not stop the Bucks from winning ball games.
Now, the guys did talk a little longer with Sidney Moncrief. You can always hear that. You can use the rewind feature and jump back to about 3:30 yesterday afternoon. You can check out the radio.com app for the on-demand. That's brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC Highway 100 in Greenfield, and also the radio.com app, as I mentioned. I don't think, you know, you watched that Bucks game yesterday, and it was an afternoon game, and that first half, you're like, what's going on here? It's the Nets G League team. Everybody thought they were going to win. It was the biggest NBA upset in 27 years based on the spread.
Yeah, I'm like, when are they going to start winning by 20 here?
We know that the Bucks didn't play their starters the whole game, so maybe an unfair way to paint that game. Yeah, I was thinking of you because you bet the Bucks to win by what, 19?
Yeah. Whoops. Oh, 18, actually. I bought a point, too. I was like, I don't trust the 19. I'm going to give him an 18. You know what sucks, too? And it ended up costing me because yesterday I was on fire. Like, I picked all dogs, and I was like, this is the day of the dog, but the Bucks will be the first team. They'll cover the big spread. Because, like, so the Bucks, I think they've won 20 games. I want to say 20 games this season by more than 19 points. But the Bucks, after a loss in Vegas, all the sharps are all over it. Now, though, see, like, for instance, tomorrow against the Heat, I can't wait till a spread comes out. I'm hammering the Bucks times 50. Every dollar I have is going on the Bucks tomorrow. Now, that's a revenge game because you've lost two straight and you've lost twice to the Heat already this season. So that's a true Bucks revenge game.
Are they going to be without Butler still? Do we know? And Dragic got hurt yesterday.
He's okay, though. His x-rays came back negative. I would expect Dragic at least to sit. Butler will probably be back. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. Had, like, knee tightness or something, they said yesterday. But then you got to remember, the day before that, he was in this, like, imaginary bubble that his teammates worried us all about. So I would assume he's going to play. And like I said, this is not even a hot take. I think the Heat are better without Jimmy Butler. Honestly, I think Jimmy Butler.
Well, you despise Jimmy Butler.
I don't despise Jimmy Butler. He likes to play hero ball the final 4 minutes of the game, and he can't shoot. He shoots 32% from beyond the arc. So I like the way they move the basketball better when he's. Now, obviously, that's a hot ass take, and it's kind of a garbage take. Jimmy Butler is a good player. They're not a better. But I like the way they move the ball when he's not on the floor. It's like I love Joel Embiid and I love Ben Simmons. I don't like them on the floor together. You know what I mean? I love Jabari Parker and Giannis when they were both healthy. Oh, I didn't love them on the floor together all the time.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, I think that's possible. You know, even at the end, I didn't like Shaq and Kobe on the floor together. They didn't work well together. So, but yeah, my original point was just that I bet the Bucks. I knew I was screwed when Giannis and Middleton didn't come out on the floor of the second half. I knew it was over right there. I live bet the Nets. I wish I would have taken the money line. I still expected the Bucks to win, but I wanted to get some of my money back. So I live bet the Nets +9.5. I think in the third quarter. I wish I would have done the money line because I still could have got them like +700. Meaning I could have laid down 101, 700 out of that game still. And
even with the scrubs in or whatever?
Yeah, even with the scrubs in. Because yesterday I was
on
fire.
Not that they're scrubs. They're some of the best NBA players in the world.
I hate hearing that. They're scrubs. That Nets team is scrubs.
They beat us.
Who the hell was that? TLC is hitting 6 threes against you?
Yeah, TLC. I had him in my DraftKings lineup.
Did you really?
Yeah, I made $8 on a dollar play. I had Luka, too.
Yeah, Luka in that game. So... Exactly. So I took the Kings.
Cam Johnson let me down a little bit with the Suns.
Listen to this BS. Yeah. So I take the
Kelly
Mavs.
Kelly Olynyk, though. I had like the all-bubble, all-star team. I had Olynyk, TJ Warren, Doncic. Anyway, go ahead. You were talking about?
Those guys are all killing it in the bubble.
Yeah, that's why I took them.
Well, the Bucks were my only loss, like in basketball yesterday. Well, in the Rockets later on at night. But I had the Mavs on the money line, but I had the Kings to cover 6 points. Mm. I had the Suns on the money line, but I only put $20 on it. And then I had the Suns to cover the spread too, because it was 9 and they won outright. And then
was that the biggest win of Devin Booker's career?
Well, no. Outside of when he was at Kentucky.
Yeah, as a Sun.
Yeah, obviously. He is the man, too. He brought it all out yesterday, the whole bag.
You know, I love those Western Conference.
God, I do, too.
Playing games.
I love the Suns. I mean,
yeah,
I told my wife, they're our West Coast team. I want all Suns apparel. I love DeAndre Ayton.
I'm rooting. I don't know who to.
They have Ricky Rubio.
I don't know who to root for because I'm rooting for all of those teams.
I'm rooting against the Pelicans because, well, screw them. That's why. I like Brandon Ingram. But, you know, like the league bent over backwards to get these guys in the bubble, and then they don't show up the first two games. I like a lot of the guys. I like Ingram. I actually like Zion. I love Drew Holiday. He's one of my favorite players in the league. I would trade Eric Bledsoe for Drew Holiday right now in a heartbeat.
So the Western Conference, it's going to be the 8-9 seed. That outside of crazy math, there will be an 8-9 matchup.
Hell, I like watching the Kings play.
Yeah, and how that works is the 8th seed and the 9th seed will have two scheduled games. If the 8th seed wins, they're in. The 9th seed has to win both of the games. So right now, the Grizzlies have the 8. The Trailblazers are a game and a half back. Spurs 2 back. Pelicans 2.5 back. Suns 3 back. Kings 3.5 back. So they're all right in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right now it would be Grizzlies versus Trailblazers, but they all have about 5-6 games left, so who knows?
Man, and the Trailblazers.
And they play each other a lot, so wow.
Yeah, I can't. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be fun to watch. I love watching the Trailblazers. Damian Lillard is just on a whole nother level as far as like point guards that could hit tough shots. That step back that he has is just ridiculous.
Grizzlies haven't won a game yet in the bubble. That's killing them.
Well, they're screwed now, too, because Jackson's done for the year. He's got the torn meniscus. That's their second best player right there. And I love John Morant, but he's showing his age right now. You know, unfortunately, Marquette's not in that bubble.
Yeah.
You know, Woj isn't coaching against him, unfortunately, in that bubble. But there's not, like, honestly, I could watch any team in the bubble except for the Nets and the Wizards bore the hell out of me.
Don't they play each other, like, soon?
And I'll watch.
Of course.
I made it a vow that I was going to watch every game in the bubble. The toughest one I've had to sit through was yesterday, was the Bucks game. When I'm watching, and I mean, it was exciting watching DJ put guys on a poster, but he was brutal. The first half of that game.
Oh, I think they played each other the other day.
I could only watch so much Ersan. When? Oh, they already played each other.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, I hit the over on that game. It was the first game. I think it was like the first game of the restart.
Yeah, they played each other.
Magic got smoked yesterday. I've been enjoying watching the Pacers play. You know, no Sabonis, but Malcolm Brogdon looked pretty good.
Depot looked all right.
Really, Depot looked good. TJ Warren's the best player in the bubble right now.
That's amazing. Nathan Marzon, big Bucks fan. You may have seen him on Twitter. He is a nice man. He tweeted yesterday, give me your concern level 0 to 10. So I'm going to use his responses because he got a lot of them. And it's about the Bucks, of course. Adam says 3. They're trying to figure everything out, so he's a little more concerned. Jeremiah says 6. It's concerning when you're giving up 21, 21, 16, 19 threes per game. The turnovers you had per game, you look messy. You're allowing teams to jack wide open threes and you're not making yours. That usually doesn't work well.
Yeah.
Alex says, out of 1 to 10, I'm a 2. The scores and defense don't concern me. The turnovers and the sloppy play we're seeing do, but I think they figure it out. Byron says, 0.1. I can't stand these games. No one cares. It's really bad foreplay for the playoffs. That I disagree with. The games we're seeing now are probably going to be better than the first round as a whole. There'll be some good matchups there, but
yeah, I thought that, but I don't know.
The NBA is the best.
First round's
going
to be intense, man, God. Especially out west.
The NBA is the best.
You know, because like, look, if the Blazers get in, the Blazers. See, I want to say they could win a playoff series, but they can't.
Not to offend anyone,
because they can't beat the Clippers.
How on earth could anyone like college basketball more than the NBA? The NBA is the best.
Yeah. I love college basketball.
Oh, the NBA is the best.
Not as much as I love NBA basketball. Well, not in this bubble, especially. Because now you get the best of both worlds because you get the college-type schedule where, you know, you got hoops at 1 p.m. and you watch the games until 10. I actually wish that there was a game on just like one. Nah, I guess not because I get to bed by 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., which is...
You want a later game?
Yeah, no, I don't, though, because I stay up and watch the NHL. So, like, finally at 10 o'clock, I can...
There a game that started at, like, 10 o'clock last night, 9:45?
In the NHL?
Yeah.
Yeah, 9:30. Well, they start so late. Like, the Hawks play tonight, the Blackhawks do, but puck drop won't be till like, 9:45. I'm staying up, so expect me to be extra cranky tomorrow.
Oh, you're a Blackhawk guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could actually care less, but I bet money that they would win this series. So I'm a Blackhawk guy now.
Is it tied at one?
I hated the Hawks when I – yeah, it's tied at one now. You just take the over in these games. I thought Corey Crawford was going to show up in this series. He hasn't. And the Hawks are just scoring at will as well. Jonathan Toews looks like he's 25 again. But so I've just been like, I hated the Hawks in college, though, because nobody ever watched hockey like my freshman year. And then all of a sudden, senior year, the Hawks are good. And everybody's the biggest Hawks fan ever. Meanwhile, for like 30 years prior, you couldn't even get Hawks games on television because the owner hated the fans. But then magically, senior year, when the Hawks are good, everybody, Taser, Kaner, you know, high-fiving and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I actually hated the Hawks for a while. But now I'm all in because I'm trying to win $200 off them.
You know, I needed a hockey team. I ended up going with the Sabres.
How are they
years
doing?
Ago. They're not in the bubble. They actually haven't made the playoffs since the first year I liked them.
Yeah.
They lost to the Blues. I think it was 2013. And they have been in the longest rebuild ever. But they're my team. You know, I bought a couple of – I had a Derek Roy sweater at the time.
Okay.
And, you know, they're my team. I, you know, whatever. But the Blackhawks
– I like that you said sweater. I hate when people say jersey.
Oh, it's hockey, man.
Yeah. So toughest guys ever.
The Blackhawks, I have – some of my wife's family from Chicago, and so they like the Blackhawks. And so they're like, well, this would be like something that you could like with us. Cause you know, I like the Brewers, Cubs.
Yeah.
I like the Packers, Bears.
Yeah.
And we could have something together. And I go, you know, I can't, because the thing that drove me more nuts than anything was in the summer that the Blackhawks won, I think, their first title. What have they won? Have they won three?
Three.
I went to a Brewers Cubs game. Brewers Cubs. Everyone's wearing Blackhawks stuff.
At Miller Park?
At Miller Park.
Why? Well, it was all Cubs fans.
Well, I mean, if I go to a Brewers game and the Bucks are in the finals, I might wear a Bucks shirt. I suppose I get it, but I don't like how it's just like accepted that around here your favorite hockey team can be the Blackhawks. It should be.
I don't have a problem with it.
I'm
right.
All on board with people liking the Predators.
Like, I'm not rooting for any team.
Because you got the Admirals.
Anybody but Minnesota. Like, I'm not rooting for the Wild. I hate Minnesota.
Oh, the Wild, I can't stand.
Like, Bears fans are the worst, but at least when Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone against the Bears, like, they don't still celebrate that.
Yeah.
All Vikings fans have
moments of the decade, Shea Hillenbrand.
Yeah.
But you do see Anthony Barr
right.
Taking out Rodgers.
Right. Like, at least, like, the Bears fans are annoying because all they talk about is 1985, the last Super Bowl that they won when I wasn't even alive. But, like, at least they don't just celebrate Aaron Rodgers getting injured one year as their Super Bowl. So as annoying as they are, they're nowhere near as bad as the people from Minnesota, minus Rami Makhlouf, who on Twitter the other day I said, are you still living in hell, a.k.a. Minnesota? And he said yes, and be nice, because he loves Minnesota for some reason.
The Vikings, like, the Bears' greatest moments in history
85.
85.
Urlacher.
Early championships.
You know what my favorite Urlacher moment was? When Rodgers throws the pick in the NFC title game to Urlacher and he's about to take it to the house and Rodgers catches him from behind because he's the baddest MF-er ever. Aaron Rodgers, not Urlacher.
What are the greatest, I'll tell you, the three greatest Vikings moments.
Urlacher finding hair is a big moment in Chicago. Just drive to Illinois and every billboard is Brian Urlacher.
All of a sudden
hair.
He has hair.
Yeah.
And every other billboard is Northwestern, Chicago's Big Ten team.
Or please buy ads. For the love of God.
Or... did this ad catch your attention? It could be yours.
I hate that. Or it's like a really good-looking woman, and it's like, got your attention. And it's like, no, you almost killed me on I-94.
My favorite part about billboards is whenever you see like...
And we're not on any of them, despite having...
Yeah, this is true on Highway 41 if you drive up to Appleton and that way. Whenever you see a like adult store like Excite or Spice,
mm-hmm.
The next billboard after that is... it just says Jesus.
Yeah.
It's always...
and it just gives you a number. I kind of want to call him up and be like, hey, Zeus, I got some issues, brother. Okay?
Bucks didn't cover the 20 yesterday.
This whole COVID thing, any chance we could end this soon so I could get my kid out of my hair?
Yeah. Could you guys have done this like 5,000 years ago instead of now?
I love my wife, but
I guess it was called the plague.
If I have to go home in 40 minutes and hear her on one of these Zoom conference calls with one of these Apple geeks, I'm going to bash my head into the wall today. These jokes they tell on these Zoom, oh my God, Apple people?
Worse than my jokes?
No. No, yeah, way worse, dude. We're talking Genius Bar Apple workers and you.
Oh, I didn't get my Viking joke in. My Viking joke is... the three greatest moments in Vikings history.
Okay.
Number three would be the...
Wait, you don't have these already? You're just naming them off the top of your head?
Well, I have them in my head, and now I'm going to give them to you. So, number three, the number three best moment in Vikings history is when they injured Aaron Rodgers.
That's three?
Yeah. The number two best moment in Viking history is when they took Brett Favre from us. And then the number one moment in Viking history is that one playoff game, the one game where they didn't miss a last-second field goal. Because it feels like they do that in every game. Oh, and when Bud Grant did the coin flip in 80 degree, or he was 85 years old and he had short sleeves and minus 10 degree weather.
What about when Joe Webb, for some reason, was like the starting quarterback every other year of a playoff game? That doesn't crack the list. Or what about...
Or when Gus Frerotte banged his head on the wall and gave himself a concussion? Or was that with the Redskins?
I don't even know. Don't even care. Hate the Vikings.
Or when Michael Vick ran through them and then out of the tunnel.
Yeah, that was awesome. I did almost root for the Vikings the one year when Dante Culpepper took over for Warren Moon and it was Moss and Carter. I was like, why do they have to be the Vikings? Because I loved watching Moss so
much. And when
they
had a playoff spot locked up and then Nate Poole caught a bullcrap touchdown from Josh McCown.
Remember when Randy Moss changed the NFL forever because he destroyed the Packers and then the next year they drafted like 16 defensive backs? I do. Because nobody could stop Randy Moss.
We'll get an update from Mike Clemens. We'll hear from Devontae Adams 60 seconds. You're on the fan.
Now, a green and gold training camp update. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers are working on their weightlifting and conditioning. They won't have a full practice for another week. With free agent Devin Funchess opting out, the Packers' Devontae Adams was asked if any of the other receivers in camp stand out.
Well, at this point, I mean, we've been in the building for like 2 days. Tough to make a true assessment on that. But obviously, there's guys that, you know, Alan Lazard is one of the guys that he's shown really talented player on the field.
Now, the NFL requires teams with rosters up to 90 players hold split squad sessions to cut down on crowding. After long snapper Hunter Bradley was placed on the COVID-19 list, Matt LaFleur says that reduced the roster.
Well, at the present moment, we are at 80, so we were able to have everybody in today, but we know that we've got to be fluid with this. We've got a couple guys on the COVID list, and we've got two schedules just in case things change and somebody can come back into the fold.
Best Packers coverage on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Woo! Oh, yeah. Pearl Jam. Even flow. Bart Winkler, Ryan Horvath, and you guys, commercial free. Tomorrow, 8:20, Sam Monson, Pro Football Focus.
Great accent.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, oh, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback ever.
That's why we booked him.
Yeah.
9:30, Mike Clemens will be back. Will he play Danica Patrick sound? God, I hope not.
Is Rodgers with that other girl that...
Will there be construction behind Clemens when we're on the phone with him?
Yeah, what was that yesterday?
Nobody knows.
Did Clemens get a new roof?
He may have.
We're J&J contractors over... Maybe Windows Select was putting in some new windows for our boy.
That could very well be.
I mean, if you need new windows, call Windows Select. Or I'll punch you in the face. That should be your advertisement, right?
Is Rodgers with Shailene Woodley, are you asking?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. I can't think of her name. I was trying to talk to my wife about this, and I'm like, you know the girl she's in? Divergent. Right? Divergent? Divergent?
You think I know?
Divergent. Not Divergent. Divergent. Movie sucks. I don't even... That's who he's going to... I don't know.
I don't know.
Who is Aaron Rodgers with? 414-799-1250. I think he just needs to take... Like, he needs to stop going from relationship to relationship. You know? It's like they tell Andy in 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah, like, yeah.
You know?
So, when the Rodgers news came out that he's done with Danica, my immediate thought was... Yes, yes, more playbook time. Yeah. And then I heard quickly he was with Shailene Woodley, and I thought, oh, get that playbook back in your hands,
yeah,
man.
Instead he's going to these speed dating things. Like, you know who I actually like the most? You're going to find it a little weird, Gina. That's 40-year-old version.
Yeah.
But he needs to stop going from relationship to relationship. Remember my take last year? The Packers would have won the Super Bowl, and Rodgers would have been MVP if he was dating Rihanna.
Yeah, no, dude.
That's probably my best take ever.
That's how Rodgers is with his teammates.
Well, this girl, though, is, yeah, he needs, like, younger people surrounding him because he's got the gray in the beard. Like, last year, there were times when Rodgers looked 50 years old. I see some Favre in him.
I think Rodgers falls too hard too quickly for other people. I do, even with the women, but with the dudes, with his friends. He was best friends with Martellus Bennett after one day, and then with Jimmy Graham at some point last year during one of his press conferences, he says, you know, Jimmy Graham, my best friend. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Remember, well, he's been searching for a new best friend ever since him and Brawny had to close down their restaurant.
He got burned by Braun. Whole thing.
You know, I had a problem, actually, with that. Like, Rodgers turning his back on Braun. Like, half of the dudes I played sports with took steroids and lied about
it. Rodgers really stuck his neck out for Braun.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
It made him look bad.
I still don't blame Braun.
I don't either. He took him for us.
Yeah, until I know that, you know, everybody else in Major League Baseball wasn't taking something.
Yeah, I'm Team Braun.
I don't care.
Retired the number eight.
It's not like I'm rooting for Tyreek Hill or Adrian Peterson, who are just awful people off the field. I'm rooting for Ryan Braun, who, somebody calls me up and they're like, hey, you want to be better at your job? But, you know, you got to do this. I'm going to say, hell yeah, man. I'll do some HGH for the vocal
cords.
I mean,
he was mean to the FedEx guy. It's, you know.
Yeah, but you don't think maybe he cut that guy a check under the table or something like that?
You don't think you've ever been mean to anyone in your life?
I'm nice to everybody here. I wish I was dealt the same card.
Oh, but Braun, you know, taking PEDs ruins the integrity of the game. Oh, yeah, the integrity of a game that has a 60-game schedule this year with seven-inning doubleheaders.
Oh, yeah, the integrity of the game where the commissioner of the league called the World Series trophy a piece of metal. The integrity of the league where guys are wearing wires, you know, like they're going into the show The Wire and getting tipped off. Is this a, you know, fastball coming your way? Here's a four-seamer at your chest. Guys banging on trash cans. Whatever was going on with the Boston Red Sox, their final couple years where Theo was there and they were just getting hammered in the clubhouse eating fried chicken. They all gained like 50 pounds. That's what I hate about baseball, though, is the traditionalists. Like, I miss the game for the way the game used to be. I hate launch angle and just swinging for the fences and being able to strike out 40 times and still having a successful weekend. But, like, I hate the guys that are like, Pete Rose can never enter the Hall of Fame because of the integrity of the game. Like, relax, bro.
Well, okay? I heard someone the other day say, I'm a baseball purist. What does that even mean?
I heard somebody ask if Ichiro's even a Hall of Famer one time.
No.
Yeah.
What does a baseball purist even mean? What does it even mean?
Like guys that keep score at the game.
You like it when we all used to go to the ballpark and wear suits and hats? Is that what baseball purist means?
Oh, I'm heading over to the Dodgers game, huh?
You like it when minorities couldn't play? I mean, how far back do we go here? You like it when the one game a week was on TV?
I do wish it was like back in
the
day.
You like it when Babe Ruth hit home runs over a wall that was like not even up to my knees in right field at Yankee Stadium? What do you like here? What's so pure about this game? It's always changing.
I love when like you talk to like your grandpa and he tries to tell you like Tiger Woods isn't the greatest golfer of all time because the clubs have changed and now the ball's juiced and whatnot. I love talking to my grandpa about Babe Ruth. He is convinced that Babe Ruth is the greatest baseball player of all time.
Babe Ruth is trash.
And I'm like,
Babe Ruth would be no better than Justin Smoke in today's game. And I've said this before.
He'd be Kyle Schwarber.
All right, fine. He'd be Kyle Schwarber.
Okay, exactly. He would bat probably 240 in a good year, 40 homers, 350 strikeouts. But what I like about Babe Ruth is the story is that he would just get like hammered.
No, he wouldn't even
beat
Kyle Schwarber. People are throwing him 60-mile-an-hour fastballs.
I mean, the dude was eating hot dogs in the dugout.
Yeah.
I wish, like, if we're going to be baseball traditionalists, I think we should bring back Cutting Joe's in the dugout. Just smoking heaters.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Drinking, you know.
Yeah, baseball
the
purists.
The Mets in the 80s.
Baseball purists, like the 80s. Like the, oh, when everyone was doing cocaine?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What does a baseball purist even mean?
414-799-1250. What is a baseball purist?
No, honestly, what does it mean? That's my question.
Right.
What is a baseball purist?
Tell them what the question is.
What the question? The question is, what does baseball purist mean?
What say you?
That you don't like the DH in one league, but you like it in the other? Well, shouldn't you like the DH in no leagues if you're a baseball purist?
If
you're a baseball purist, shouldn't you like when outs don't count until like the ball can bounce and then you can catch it and that's an out? Because that's what it used to be like.
I actually miss the pitcher's batting when I have to watch Logan Morrison collect his first hit and Christian Yelich is striking out every at bat. Like, I'm like, man, I don't know. Brandon Woodruff could probably step up and spark a rally here.
How much espresso did you put in that coffee today?
For you or for me?
Both of us.
Three shots apiece. We needed it today. We needed to bring the thunder.
You know what? I have all these Davante Adams things to play, but if
I don't
play them now.
I really don't want to hear from Davante. Does he say anything about launch angle?
I can save him till tomorrow.
Does he comment on Fiona Farrow, who I just threw some money down in international tennis?
He talks about Jordan Love.
Save it. I don't want to get angry. I'm in a good mood today.
He talks about COVID.
I'm good. No COVID talk.
He talks about...
Did he get the new Taylor Swift album? Because I think it's some of her edgier stuff. Does he dip into that a bit?
No.
Does he give the guest list? What's coming up on the Bill Michaels show today? The Good Buddies?
I don't know. Is Hef over there? Hef, are you over there?
I think he's literally sitting on the couch right next to you.
Yeah, but I'm slouched down. I can't.
We got to promote the other shows. What's like the Wendy's Big Show? I'm pretty sure Radio Joe's filling in today because I don't see him in this office right now. There's 13 producers. Radio Joe, not one of them.
Yeah, Evan Heffelfinger.
We got the mayor, Mitch Ross, back here. Hef money.
What's coming up
No Radio. Where's Radio Joe?
I think he's on the Big Show today.
Okay. He's filling in for the Wendy's Big Show because Steve Sparky Pfeiffer has the rest of the week off.
Okay. See, I knew that. Because I check my liner sheet.
So what do you got on Bill's show today?
We've got a lot of great stuff today. We're recapping Brewers and White Sox, Bucks and Nets. We are talking about the Big Ten schedule release. Big news there.
Did you hear we win-lost the schedule?
Really?
Yeah, I said, I'll quickly do it again.
No.
Indiana win, Northwestern canceled, Nebraska win, Minnesota canceled, Maryland win, Purdue canceled, Illinois canceled, Michigan lost, Iowa lost or canceled, and then Rutgers. So the Badgers go 5-1 and miss out on the Big Ten championship and no bowl game. And I said the four college playoff teams would be Alabama at 10-0, Clemson at 6-0, Ohio State at 5-0, and Oklahoma at 2-1.
Okay.
Because I'm not so optimistic about the
You're more optimistic than I am.
I just don't see how college football gets this. Just play in the spring.
I predicted the Fighting Irish Revenge Tour. First,
why don't they just play in the spring?
They beat Clemson, then they beat Alabama. First, they get the suits, then they get the khakis, then they get the chicks. I think they got to get the jobs first, actually. Bart, new audience, 9 a.m. Could we recap the Bucks real quick? Could I do it? Because
yeah,
I watched the game?
Sure.
All right, so yesterday, guys, Giannis, he scores 16 points, despite the fact he only played the first half for Milwaukee, who's lost two or three seeding games. Now, Kyle Korver, you know, obviously he drops in 13. Ersan Ilyasova, 12 points, 10 boards. Frank Mason, he adds 11 points. But now get this. Milwaukee coach Mike Budenholzer wanted to get some of his Bucks rest at this point of the schedule. Now, I know Bud personally. I see him, you know, every Tuesday night. We go bowling. He says, Tuesday or whenever it is we play Miami, we'll be back to something more. What I guess you'd consider normal and continue to build towards the start of the playoffs. Now, Bart, you remember this in the game because I remember it. I went and poured a drink. I come back. Brooklyn leads 94-88 at the start of the fourth. So the Bucks then they go on this 16-10 run to take their first lead of the second half at 107-104 on a three-pointer by DJ Wilson, which I remember because I was watching. 5:31 left in the game. Sterling Brown then hits a three, and I was like, what? Sterling? With 3:56 to play to put the Bucks up 110-107. All right?
Wow.
Yeah. Now, Milwaukee appeared ready to clinch from the opening tip as the Bucks scored 8 of the first 10 points and hit 7-14 beyond the arc. But we have to remember that the Nets led 40-34 at the end of the first quarter and 73-65 at halftime. Okay? So Giannis, he had his baby son on hand at the NBA bubble for this game. Now, Liam, who's an infant, obviously couldn't make the trip to the bubble.
Right.
Inside sources tell me this, though, Evan. Liam, he made an appearance on the screen behind the Bucks bench as a virtual fan. Now, that might have been why the reigning NBA MVP got mad at Nets center Dante Hall, where he was pushed to the floor early in the second quarter. Both players given a foul. Now, one last point, Bart. Hold on. Stat watch. The Nets made 14 threes in the first half. Okay? And I was thinking in my head, Evan. The Nets, they hit 14 threes in the first half, and I'm thinking, this has to be their best half of the season because I remember back against Orlando, I was watching this game, me and my buddy Earl.
Yeah, I know Earl.
Yeah. So what they do then the rest of the game is they hit 21 of the 57 threes that they take, Bart.
Wow.
Brooklyn's best first quarter came March 6th. When the Nets scored 41 points against the Spurs.
You're not using any notes or nothing? This is you.
No. You know, I was going to say, I can tell you watch this game because there's no way that you'd be able to know this information unless you watch the game.
But Evan, the Nets, they tied their second best quarter with 40. So they did it against the Spurs. Now you'd have to go all the way back to March 6th before COVID ran rampant in this country.
I remember that.
And the Bucks turned it over 19 times. Luckily, up next, the Nets, I just remember this off the top of my head, schedule in there. They play Boston Wednesday night. Big, big game. Big game. Big game. Then the Bucks, they get Miami on Thursday. All right, thanks, guys. I had to recap that.
Holy mackerel.
Very, very impressive.
Glad I take notes.
Very impressive. The Liam was wearing a Jordan jersey, Giannis's son, and the guy next to him did look like Jerry Krause.
Yeah, Marcus was giving him some, like, Jordan.
And he looked like Jerry Krause, the late great Jerry Krause.
Late,
I should say.
Rest in peace.
What else is on Bill's show? Is that about it?
We're continuing our look at the Fan in Green Bay, our new affiliate out there. We have a rookie co-host of the Bill and Rookie Experience on at 10:35.
Yep. I miss sending him audio for no reason. 500 cuts. Got to send it to Rookie. Guys, you got to get this audio over to Earl in Sheboygan. Can't go home. Earl. Can't get home until Earl in Sheboygan with 103 cool
hits. I don't know
that
many people named Earl. Does Ryan know everyone named Earl in Wisconsin?
I don't know. I had an uncle, Earl Gillespie.
My name is Earl.
Last time Milwaukee won a World Series. He actually called the final out.
On this station.
On this station, maybe. Something like that.
Are you talking to any Packers?
Yes, we are, Bart. At 12:05, we will hear from Devontae Adams, and then talk a little bit about the receiving.
We were
going
to hear from Devontae at 7:30, 8:30, and 9:30.
And I didn't want to.
And we never got to that.
Yeah, we'll hear from him tomorrow, I'm sure.
It's a busy day.
Yeah, then it's kind of a weird day.
It's wacky.
Kind of some weird, wacky Wednesday, you know?
All right, so we got that looking.
Ask Evan if he's concerned about the Bucks.
Yeah, what's your 0 to 10? I'm not concerned about them. I'm concerned that everyone else is playing, like, good.
Yeah, I
feel like everyone...
Gooder.
Like, what's the best version of ourselves? The Suns found it. The Heat found it. The Raptors found it. I feel like other teams are playing... Now, again, the Bucks don't have a meaningful game probably till Labor Day, but...
That's what worries me about starting a season as well as the Bucks did and doing well in the regular season is what happens if you peaked as a team... During that run, like, what if they peaked as a team during that, like, 18-game win streak? So I'm probably, like, a 4 right now. Not nervous enough to really, truly be worried about the team, but another loss, another game where the bench just doesn't look like it's all there. The turnovers are awful. They need to be taken care of. If that starts to continue, then I'm going to be worried. But for now, not too much.
Here's a question. What are you more worried about, Horvat's gambling addiction or my dependence on alcohol?
My dependence on alcohol.
Both.
I mean, there's 8 hours of NBA games. Do you think I'm going to watch that without a beer in my hands? You're nuts.
I know. It's tough to do. It's easier than watching NASCAR without a beer in your hand.
Oh, my God. Well, arm open and put Everclear right
almost,
in there.
Make sure it's a Bud Light while you're listening to the Bill Michaels Show while watching basketball.
That's coming up next here on The Fan. We're back tomorrow. Sam Monson, 8:20. Mike Clemens, 9:30. We'll talk Bucks, Brewers, and more.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.